As some of you may know, the Orkney Islands were formed when the giants of the north raised two hands of mud and threw them into the North Sea. And as a result, the men there are staunch and stolid and rather humorless, but strong and relentless. And the women, they deal. And in the time of the great War Duke Uther Pendragon, the Orkney men were valued above all others as warriors. And greatest of all the Orkney men was the great King Lot. King Lot was a man in the full flower of 25 summers. He was magnificent. And one night he sat at feast with his war duke. And he walked up to Uther and said, "Uther, it has been my honor to be your liege man. My only wish in life is that I have a son that can protect your back, just as I have protected yours. But I have no wife." Well, Uther was about 6 cups of mead in to the feast. And he loved Lot, even though he thought he was a little stolid, but Uther was a Welshman, you know. So he said, "Lot, I would be proud to give you a wife. My beautiful wife Ygraine's sister, Morgause, is just coming into womanhood. She's 14, and I give her to you." And then he turned around and looked at Ygraine, who was looking at him. And he knew he was sleeping in the stable for a week. That is another story. And so he couldn't go back on his word, and Morgause and Lot were married. Now, Lot, although stolid and humorless, was not made of stone, and thought perhaps his little wife would like the things she was used to. So the first night on the road, he cast a pavilion for her in silk. He spread a table with sweetmeats for her. And he strode in, and he looked around, and there was this little bundle of cloth in the corner of the tent. Looking out were two huge eyes with two tears rolling down, and he said, "Morgause, come. I have pitched a tent for you. You have soft pillows of sweetmeats. Come next to me, child. I will not hurt you." And Morgause just sat there. Huge amber eyes, tears rolling down her face. And so Lot sighed. He curled up in a corner. He went to sleep. The next night on the road, again, he cast the pavilion. He set the table. And this time, he brought to her two handfuls of jewels, and he said, "Morgause, come look. These will grace your neck, and they have graced the necks of the queens since the time that the first queen walked off the long boat. Come, Morgause, and look." And Morgause was in the corner, a little bundle of cloth, two big eyes with the tears rolling down. And he just didn't know what to do, because he knew that the next night would be their last night on the road before he came, and he couldn't have a rabbit walk next to him instead of a queen. But he couldn't force her. He felt deep down in that stolid heart a little tugging at his heartstrings, and he would have rather cut off his hand than raised it against her. And so the third night, the sweetmeats were spread, the pavilion was cast, and he said, "Morgause," and then he thought to himself, "Wait, I believe that women are impressed with deeds of arms. Yes, women are impressed." And so he launched into the tale of his last battle and how he had dodged the arrows of 55 Saxons, how he had flown down the causeway alone and hurled a spear at the great Saxon chief. And just as he raised his arm with his sword to show the sword hooked the handle of the wine ewer. It flew over his head. The momentum threw him into the table, where he crashed to the ground in a pile of sweetmeats. And he thought, "That's it. I'm lost." And then he heard this sound from the corner, very softly, from that little bundle of cloth. And he looked over and he heard it again. And he thought, she's laughing at me. Then he heard it a third time. And as he picked a candied violet out of his beard, all of a sudden this little figure flew out of the cloak, flew into his arms, threw her arms around him and went, "Look, you look so silly. I love you." And he looked at her and she at him, and he started to laugh, kind of a rusty sound. And they looked into each other's eyes and they laughed together, and their souls ran together at that moment, and soon that laughter became another joy, and we'll leave them there. But there is a tale, there's a thing to be learned from this story, and that is that if a man makes a woman laugh, she may be able to have him for one night. But if a man and woman laugh together, that laughter echoes down the generations and into eternity. And that is the end of my tale.